Welcome to The Rachel Peterson Show, the place where we dissect social media strategies entrepreneurs are using to build their brand, go viral, and make a massive impact. Let's dive on in.
Welcome to another episode of The Rachel Peterson Show. Guys, today we're going to have some fun. You're in for some serious belly laughing goodness from Molly Mahoney, who is the queen of Facebook Live. She is somebody who has made just an entrance onto the scene of Facebook Live and is just completely dominating with her live videos, with her energy. I could explain it to you, but you'll see exactly what I mean in just a second. So let's dive on into this interview with Molly Mahoney. Molly, I'm so glad to have you on the podcast today. One of the reasons that I absolutely am so beyond excited to be talking to you is because you are the queen of Facebook Live. Literally. Every single video that you do is so engaging, and you really become a master at how to get people sucked right on into your Facebook Lives, and people want to watch them. They're excited for them. Tell me a little bit about how you were introduced to Facebook Live for your business.
Ooh, good question. So first of all, I just want to say my gratitude for the magic that is Facebook Live, because it really is magic. And yes. I'm just so glad that it exists, because it's provided such amazing, you know, awesomeness for me as a human and in my business. But as soon as it came out, I knew that this was the tool that I needed to use. And I have an Android, so I couldn't even use it on my phone at first. So I would hijack my husband's phone, and I was like, I need to figure out how to master this right away. So the first thing that I ever did with it was actually a 6-week series on curing the starving artist syndrome.
Wow.
And so I knew it was kind of a hot button topic and something that I was really passionate about at the time. And I knew that I needed to do it consistently in order to keep people engaged, and then also for me to be able to really figure it out.
Yes.
So by launching with something like that, it forced me to kind of master it within those first 6 weeks that I did it. And and then it just all grew from there.
You know, one of the things that I think is cool is when you jumped into Facebook Live, you didn't just try it. You were like, nope, I'm committing to this for 6 weeks. I definitely have found this in my business, and I think a lot of people have. The idea of Facebook Live is great, but actually getting started and committing to consistency is really intimidating. What kind of advice do you have for people who are like on the fence? They know the benefits of Facebook Live, but it maybe feels a little bit scary.
Yeah, there's so much in that, right? So the number one, I mean, it's so much. So I, first of all, like to acknowledge the fact, if you're feeling freaked out, recognize that that's normal.
Yes.
Because really, and having the performance background that I have, that's the one thing that I've learned across the board, is that no matter how high level you are, it's scary to put yourself out there like that. And so recognizing those fears, and I know I heard Mari Smith say this last year, and it was so powerful. It's not about making those butterflies go away. It's about getting them to fly in formation.
Ooh, I love that.
Isn't that so, and I know we're doing an audio, but I dance while I say it. There's like this. It's so good. She puts out such great advice. And so that, it, just recognizing that it's okay to be freaked out, and just because you speak to your family or you speak to your friends and you've been speaking since you were maybe 2 years old or however old you were when you first started talking, that doesn't mean you're an expert at it.
Right.
And so if you never had any sort of training in public speaking or in some sort of, you know, performance skills or video or that type of stuff, you should be freaked out.
Yes.
I mean, there's free training everywhere. So like, take a moment to recognize some of the skills that you might need to put into place.
Yes.
And that, like, So that's like, you can get help, first of all. Recognize there is help available.
Right.
And the main thing, in addition to the skill sets, is like that confidence piece.
Absolutely. And I will say, one of the things that helped me with confidence for speaking just in general was that I took a Toastmasters class several times when I was in high school and in middle school. And Toastmasters, for anyone who isn't familiar, is a public speaking course and training. It's a membership. It's a really great way to improve your public speaking skills. It will push you outside of the comfort zone when you are speaking to people. And that is, I would say, my saving grace when it comes to speaking. It removes that fear because it pushes you every single time. Have you ever taken Toastmasters, Molly?
I haven't, but I've read a lot of their stuff that they have online. But that makes so much sense, Rachel, because when I hear you talk on your podcast, when I see you do your videos, you clearly communicate effectively. And so the fact that you've had training in that totally makes sense.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. And I bet that helps you too. And this is another thing about Facebook Live that's really cool, is that the more that you put it into practice consistently like that, it not only allows you to engage with your audience like you're having an actual one-on-one conversation or a follow-up conversation when you can do little magic tricks with Facebook ads, with live videos and stuff like that.
Right.
It also allows you to polish your speaking skills because you're talking about your content all the time. So when you speak to someone at a party or randomly you hop on an interview, you're going to be more prepared for those situations as well. And a sales call. Having
yes.
done the live videos is so helpful because you're practicing all the time.
Absolutely. You know, and one thing I do want to touch on, I like to be very transparent in my podcast. I don't want to pretend like I have Facebook Live completely figured out. It's something I use within Social Media University all the time because that's like my closest tribe. I feel very comfortable speaking to them, giving them advice, sharing something that I've learned recently. However, as you might know, I have a Facebook group that has almost 5,000 people. And even though it's the group that I founded, there is a part of me that gets a little bit nervous every single time I'm going to go on to Facebook Live. Now, you do Facebook Lives. Do you do it every single day?
Some people will say that I do, because I come really close to being every single day. But at this point, I'm strategically doing it 4 times a week.
Okay.
So I do a Motivation Monday, at the same time every Monday on my business page, a Quick Tip Tuesday that I do sometime throughout the day on Tuesday, an interview series on Wednesdays called The Joyful Journey, and then Thursdays is my day when I go to networking events and stuff like that, so I don't intentionally do a video on Thursday, but sometimes I do, and then on Friday I do a Fearless Friday video.
Okay.
And then I spice it up with little videos of my family and like fun, you know, they're not specifically strategic, but with little fun things I throw in there too. So
I think that's so fun. But before you go on Facebook Live, is it something that you prepare for? Do you have a topic in mind? Because I think sometimes, okay, that's really helpful. I think sometimes people just jump on Facebook Live and then all of a sudden the fear strikes because you haven't planned anything.
Hello, totally. So, and that's like, first of all, the thing to recognize and just like admit and acknowledge and, you know, take in is the fact that when it's live, things will go wrong.
Right.
Like, just accept it. It's not when, it's not if, it's when. And I have had crazy things go wrong on Facebook Live. Like one time my phone fell. I was using this cute selfie stick, which I don't recommend buying selfie sticks because they're cute. But it had gold polka dots on it, and I thought it was fun. And my phone fell out of the selfie stick and landed between my legs.
No.
And I was wearing a skirt.
Oh, my gosh. I love that story. Just because
I almost died.
Was it one of your most popular videos, or how did you bounce back from that?
It has become like one of the greatest things that has happened to me. And but that's something like you can't actually prepare for. So the preparedness comes in. There's a really awesome confidence tip that I have. So there's in getting solid about your confidence, being clear about your brand and your brand values, so that when things go wrong, you know the path to take to fix them, right?
Right.
And being clear about the content, I am always big about setting a very specific objective. So I actually have my students, there's this really specific way of doing a post-it note that I have near my computer at all times or my phone at all times. It's not a full script. It's just like bullet points, which
teach
that at Toastmasters. But I learned that in a public speaking course in college, that you don't write the whole script out because then you'll be like a robot.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and then you get stuck reading it and it doesn't feel, you know, real or authentic or anything. So
yes.
But yeah, so in that moment when the selfie stick, I was actually, luckily I was teaching my course. So there's about 175 people in my camera confidence course now. And at the time I was teaching them how to get the perfect thumbnail. And I have this really specific little trick on how to get, you know how those thumbnails when they come through and it's like horrible.
Yes, but it's like the worst face you could possibly be making is the one that Facebook selects as the thumbnail.
I swear they have a little gnome who's like in there half-half making all the bad thumbnails.
You think you're cool? Try this thumbnail.
So I was teaching how to do that and I was like really intense in my training. I was very specific and educational. And out of nowhere, my phone falls. I landed on the floor. So I look down and all I can see is the phone, literally like the image of the camera shooting straight up my skirt.
Oh my gosh.
So I jumped back. I like screamed and jumped back. And I don't know if we've really spoken about this, but I have a really G-rated brand.
Yes.
I still have, I mainly coach adults now, but I still have a few rock star children who are my clients and students. One who was just, who just spoke at Lady Gaga's Born This Way Foundation about kindness,
whoa,
which like my heart explodes when I think about how proud I am of him. He's 14. Crazy.
Yes.
But yeah, so I still have some kids. So I'm like super G-rated. So this is not okay. So I have this method that I call the stop, drop, and roll. And when things go wrong, like the show must go on is not always the best idea. You have to stop and like assess the situation. And if you don't stop and assess the situation, you're just going to allow it to like filter around in the back of your brain and everything's going to be a mess. So
yes,
I stopped. And one of my friends who was in the course, I was like, she was taking it and I could tell that she was participating, commenting and stuff. And I was like, you need to tell me right now, like, how bad was that? Do I need to stop this and, you know, delete it? And I realized that when a video is live, if someone's watching it live, they can't rewind it.
Right, right.
So
that's a good way to think about it.
I just kept going live for the rest of my life, I was going to be okay.
It's a little safer than, you know, something that happens on the news where people can hit TiVo or whatever. I don't even know if TiVo's a thing. That's a but they can rewind it, pause it, you know, take a picture. That's
screenshot
such
or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah. So also the other thing is because I'm a weirdo and I have kind of a vintage flair in my style, I was wearing crinoline underneath my skirt. I had like lots of ruffles. I was getting ready to head to this a networking event with the EMN network. And I had like a kind of a little 50 skirt on with lots of ruffles.
Yes.
So I pulled it together. I realized this was an amazing teaching moment for my students to be able to show them like things are going to happen and you can choose to like cry and be really negative about it, or you can see it as a possibility and, you know, make a joke about it. It'll allow them to see that you're human, that it's easy. If I can get through this, you can get through it too.
Yes.
So I finished the video and then I called my friend who I was meeting at this event and I was like, I'm going to be a few minutes late. And then I went back and I screenshotted the moment when it happened and I sent it to my mom. And I was like, Mom, is this going to destroy my brand or should I leave this? And it was actually not that bad. It just, it was lots of ruffles and shadows and my long legs.
That is awesome. Okay, yeah. So we've touched a little bit on what can go wrong on Facebook Live. But one of the things that I know for your brand and for your business is that your business has grown quite a bit since you've implemented Facebook Live. So I'd love to hear a little bit about how Facebook Live has helped you to build your business.
Yeah, so a couple of things. It literally, like there is one thing that's better than Facebook Live, which
yes,
is having a real conversation with an actual human being, right?
Right.
But it's impossible to have one-on-one conversations with as many people as you would like to, right? There's just not enough time in the day. So
absolutely.
In presenting my material and providing mega value as if I was speaking to one human being, so it can be hard, but I try really hard not to say, hey, you guys. I try to say, I literally imagine the person that I'm speaking to, like my ideal client, a real human being, not someone that I made up. You know, if I know that I want to work with, I have a good friend named Pia who's in my course. She has an awesome website company. She just redid my website. It's so fun. But if I see Pia there as the person that I'm going to talk to and I think about the problems that I can solve for Pia, it feels to the other person like they're having a real conversation.
Yes, absolutely. I think that that's so incredible. So Pia times 20. Yeah. And, you know, I actually want to back up just a little bit because what you said is so powerful. And it's something that is a part of the viral formula and what I use in order to make messages go further. You know, everybody's trying to cast this big net. They're like, I want to reach everybody. I want to reach all entrepreneurs. But what is often overlooked is that if you actually take the time to slow down and craft a message for one person, it has the potential to reach many, many, many more people because it relates to them. It feels intimate and close. So I love that that's what you're doing with Facebook Live. So
what happens? Yeah. Because it's scary. It's scary. Like people are afraid that they're going to miss potential clients. But it actually, as you know, and your whole viral video thing is so good. I need to like set aside a week to put it into action.
Well, thank you.
If people don't have it, they should get it because everything, as I was reading it, I was like, yes, yes, yes. but what people don't realize is that it actually, you know, just like a hose, when you put your thumb over the hose, it makes it so much more powerful. And then when you do have like a strategy session with someone, they'll say things to me like, oh yeah, I remember you saying that. And the first time that I heard that, I was like, wait, we've never spoken before. I don't know what you're... And I realized it's because she's watched my videos and felt like she was having a conversation. So it creates this warm audience.
Wow. That's really powerful. Okay, so from Facebook Live, is there some type of technique or method that you use in order to encourage people to reach out to you to take the relationship to the next level? Or is it more just content that you put out there to educate and build the relationship? Or is it a combination of both?
Yeah, it's a combination of both. Because I think you always want to have an objective and a call to action, but if you're always saying, sign up for a strategy session, download this, you know, thing, whatever, it can be a little, you know, over the top.
Yes.
So I have this Facebook Live video planner, actually. It's like a free gift that I have. And it's a spreadsheet that has all these different things that you can fill out to plan your videos in advance.
Wow.
And so, yeah. And it's been really helpful. And I love with my private clients that I help them come up with all of their content and exactly their objectives, you know, based on their calendar that they've set up for the year of what they're going to be launching at different times. Which I'm sure, you know, you understand as you're getting ready to a launch, you're going to be building up in a certain way. So your call to action will change. But some things that have been really powerful for me is instead of saying, click the link, to say, comment below if you'd like this.
Ooh.
This is like a really big secret tip.
Actually, this is solid gold because I think everybody wonders about that. Okay, so go on.
So I'm going to really, and I've tested this out and it's a tiny bit more work, but it allows you to really build a relationship. So I do add the link up above later just for kicks, but I say like, if you want this video planner, for example, like you tap into the problem that you're solving for them and I'm going to give you these tips. And if you want to put these tips into action, I have an awesome free video planner. If you want it, comment below and say, give me the planner, like make it fun, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
What happens is when you turn that video into an ad, even if like only one person is watching live,
right?
You just pretend. What happens is people start commenting. And then when other people see it, it looks like hundreds of people were watching it live and having this conversation with you because you see like, give me the planner, give me the planner, give me the planner, give me the planner coming through.
Wow.
Amazing. And then you go back and you comment and you're building that relationship. And it doesn't have to be a long comment. Like I literally, when I've launched little campaigns like this, I just pull up my laptop and I go through. This is another really big tip.
Yes, I do. Okay. Give it all to me.
So you take where it says, like where the comments, if you're looking at your comments on a live video, sometimes it can be really disjointed and it's like, it'll show you the comments in real time or it'll show you the top comments and it can be really overwhelming, especially if you have a lot of them. So there's a little button you can click on the right-hand side where you can switch it to most recent comments.
Oh my gosh. And does that change it for everybody or does that just change it for you?
Just for you.
Okay.
Just the way you're
doing it. Oh, perfect.
So that way, yeah. So I have one video that was converting at like $1. It was so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And a new ad. And I just every day I would come back, switch it to most recent comments. And then everyone who said, give me the planner, I would go in and be like, oh, and I'd change it up. But yeah, I'm so glad you're going to love this. And then I'd share the link there. You got
wow.
it, dude. Share the link there. You got it. Awesome. And now I've started this conversation with people. So I'm literally building relationships.
That's incredible. And another thing that's really cool too is with Facebook advertising, the more people engage with your ads and the more people are liking, sharing, commenting, the more you comment as well, it's helpful building the relationship and the engagement, the cheaper it makes the Facebook ad over time. I've definitely found that to be true. Have you found that as well?
For sure, especially if you have, and it's a hard thing to test out. It's like a science experiment, right?
Always. So
totally. And people, it's hard for people to understand that. Like they just want this instant solution, which doesn't always exist, right?
Right.
But once you find the nugget that is like, yes, people are wanting it. And one of my best videos was like the sloppiest, funniest video I did. I wore giant glasses and I was like, people keep saying this is such a hassle. They don't have time to put makeup on. And then I like walked outside and I said, I don't have makeup on. I'm wearing glasses. Knock it off.
Yes.
But you never know what's going to take, right? But once you have that, then people start sharing it. So sometimes I have a couple videos that have had like one or two views when I was live, and then they get like 56 shares. So that's like free traffic.
Wow.
And then it's like thousands of views because people have shared it and it's something that really taps into their problem.
So one of the things too that I also want to bring up, Molly, is that your videos are so fun. So I always tune in when I see Molly's videos because I know that instantly she's going to, well, most of the time, you're going to be standing in front of a cool, colorful background and you've got music and you're dancing and you're getting everybody pumped up. So every single time your video goes live, it's a blast. It's not something that's boring to tune into. You know, it's not the beginning of a webinar. It's literally something that energizes you and kind of, it makes me want to do more live.
Awesome. Yes. So I mean, it helps. It's honestly good for me too. Like there's days where I'm having a rough day or whatever, and I'll go into my camera confidence course, or I'll go into my free Elevate Your Awesome group. And I'm like, all right, guys, you know, sometimes when I'm motivating other people, it's really that I'm motivating myself. It's just like accountability group to connect with. I had to be careful about the music thing though, because I used to always start my videos with music.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we have to watch out for the, I was going to say compliance. That's not the right word, but the
copyrights,
I guess. Yeah. Copyright. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that Facebook eventually does something like YouTube did where they just put a little ad and monetize that music for us. But,
we'll see.
You get in trouble if you're using music.
Yep. Absolutely. Copyright. Yes. So you'll have to maybe either create your own like special Molly soundtrack or something along those lines. Okay.
I do have actually a CD. So I have a CD. I recorded the CD when I was like out of college.
I love that.
So I'm lucky that I have, I mean, I can like beatbox. I had a guest on my show this week, Sean. He is also, he's a sales coach and a freestyle rapper.
Oh my gosh.
It was amazing. So the more that, as much as you don't have to be a crazy performer to be successful with this, but as much as you can have fun and like you said, allow people to like play, people are going to be more interested in learning from you if you're having fun than if you're being like, all right, we're going to be very serious today.
Absolutely. One other tip that I got in Toastmasters, actually that one may have not been Toastmasters. I think it might've been my mom who is a performer. She said, when you look out at an audience, you're not going to expect to see people smiling and engaging. Nobody's smiling and engaging because they've just got their absorb information face on. And sometimes—
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Rachel, I talk about this all the time.
Are you serious?
And your mom and I are friends, which I did not know she was your mom, so that's even better.
Great.
But that's such a good way to explain it. What I say is you can't hear smiles.
Yes. Absolutely.
Because even if they are smiling when you're on stage, a lot of the times you can't hear them. I mean, you can't see them.
Right.
So you have to just like trust that you are putting it out there and imagine that they are smiling.
Yes. And I would say it's the same way with Facebook Live. When you first go on and you see that there's maybe one or two people watching the video, you can't see the potential for the future and who is going to be watching it saying, oh, I love this. You can't hear it. So you have to pretend like there are people engaged and excited. It's like when you're on a stage and the spotlight's on you and it's hot and you can't see any faces in the audience.
It's uncomfortable.
So uncomfortable.
I was just talking to a client about this today. She said that she went to some holiday parties. She like took the week off, for the holidays. And she said that so many people came up to her and said, you know, I've never commented on your videos or anything, but I just want you to know I watch them and I love them.
Wow.
And I've had that happen to me so many times that it's like, oh my gosh, I had somebody in my family pulled me aside once and said, do not tell anybody this, but I am in a house full of men and they watch football all the time. And I secretly pull out my headset and I watch your videos. And she's like a school teacher, not in my target market, but she's like, they make me so happy. And I just want to thank you. She's never commented, never liked anything.
Wow. So there are a lot more people who are watching it after the fact than we even imagine, yes. Correct?
Yes. And don't trust that little number that says how many people are live, because I don't know if you've noticed this, but sometimes it says there are two people live, but there's like six people commenting.
So yes. Yes.
Just ignore that number.
I always try to ignore that number because I see the potential for hooking up Facebook ads to it and knowing it's going to be massive. I have a couple of clients where we're running Facebook Live ad videos, and they've had over 30,000 views on every single one of their Facebook Live videos. So that's a few more than one or two, like Facebook shows you initially.
Yeah, totally.
Definitely. Well, one question I have for you, and this is one I think that anyone who is putting themselves out there online has to deal with. One of the things that happens sometimes is that there are trolls or people who just aren't really realizing that the face behind Facebook Live is a person. I don't know why this happens, but there are just mean people online. Have you had to experience that, or have you dealt with that at all on your Facebook Lives?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I love that.
I'm totally kidding.
Okay, I know.
I have gotten to a point where the first couple of times that it happened, I honestly, it like really hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
And now I love it.
Yes.
It was like, the first time it happened was actually on Periscope. And I was singing at I was at a jazz gig with my husband, and I had my phone on my music stand, and someone said, this singer looks like she ate Katy Perry.
Oh my gosh. What a terrible person.
And on Periscope, they don't actually have a profile attached to it. So I find that Periscope allows people to be more rude.
Right.
And that one was like before I really was, because Facebook Live didn't, that was just when Periscope was around. So Facebook Live didn't even exist.
Yep.
But I really had to be like, OMG. And then that night I was feeling really confident, really good. I have two kids. I was like feeling like I was getting my body back. I had, you know, so I had to like have a little, you know, meeting with myself.
Yes.
And I found a way to deal with that. And then the next time that it happened was actually on one of my most trafficked videos, which was a video that I did about the three most embarrassing things that happened to me on Facebook Live. This video had hundreds of shares. It was like crazy. And someone said, I should pull up the comments and actually read it. But someone said something about how I spoke too fast. I'm going to read it. I spoke too fast for someone who was teaching people how to speak on camera, and that I had a lisp.
Oh my gosh.
And do the actual thing. She says, okay, I did a huge blog post about it so I can find. Oh,
you know,
I clicked on the wrong thing.
I definitely read that one. I read that. Okay. And I mean, don't worry, I'll edit that part out where we're like trying to figure out what it said. But
awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. We wanted to be smooth. Okay. So on your most commented, most shared video ever, you had somebody who was a total hater leaving a really rude comment.
Yeah, and this is what she said. She said, and she hasn't deleted it, which I think is hilarious. She said, Molly, you have a lisp and you need to see me. You are speaking way too fast for a speaker teaching a masterclass. Here's the kicker. The last part says, and please fix your lipstick.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Her name and all of the letters behind her name, because she's like a speech therapist. As if she thinks she's going to, like, get a client from me, in me.
You know, I know a thing or two about marketing, and I don't think that that's a way to secure new clients, to insult. Interesting.
Well, you know what is a way to secure new clients? In the way that you handle stuff like this.
Yes.
Because the way that I handled it ended up coming back and being a really amazing thing, too. And
yes.
I will be super honest that I've had fake teeth since I was 12. I've had dentures since I was 12. They were like on a retainer. They can come out. So I do have a little bit of a lisp. And I for like a month or two after, I went to the dentist. I like had major issues.
Yes. Yep.
But here's what I wrote back to her. I said, thanks for the feedback. I've actually had dentures since I was 12. So you're totally right in spotting that I do have a slight lisp. That's something I would never point out to someone in a comment publicly. I'd probably send them a private message. Smiley face. And then I said, I also know that I speak really quickly. It's something that works very well for my brand, and I know that it's not for everyone. But the people who dig my energy really dig it. So I choose to celebrate it rather than squash it. I never expect or suggest that others speak as quickly as I do, unless it's what works with their brand. And OMG, you're totally right about my lipstick. I went back and looked at the video after, and I thought, ooh, that's a little sloppy. But hey, it's a live video, and there's no do-over. I'm real, baby. Ha! Huh? I'll think of you when I apply my lipstick today.
Okay, I want to hear how your clients and how your audience responded to that, because the way you handled it was just beautiful. There was so much grace in it, but also kind of like a little bit of sass that I love without being full on snarky. Beautifully handled. How did your audience react to your comment in response?
It was crazy. She wrote, "You're right. I apologize." So I honestly have a little bit of, I have a lot of compassion for her, because like you mentioned in the beginning, there's this weird phenomenon that we have where we forget that the person behind the screen is a human being.
Yes.
So as much as you can realize we're human and that we need connection, and that you can like give people the benefit of the doubt and, and you know, recognize that and see it as an opportunity to elevate your brand. So if you're clear about your brand values from the beginning, it makes it much easier.
Yes.
So when I shared this and like did a whole post on it, it was like so many people, first of all, like, I can't believe somebody said this to you, know, trying to defend me, which is not what I wanted out of it, really. And what ended up happening is that so many people messaged me privately and said, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened to you. And it makes me feel so much better about sharing myself.
Yes.
Live, you know, and really connect. I call it, I have this weird term called the quesadilla of awesome.
I love that.
You recognize the things that are uniquely amazing about yourself. And I make all my students write this like very detailed, specific list about the things about them as a human being.
Right. And
I say everyone has something that makes them awesome, even if it's just that you make an amazing quesadilla.
I have to say, my husband makes the best quesadillas. It's not the only thing he does well. Just wanted to say that. They're so good. But
we're going to have like a quesadilla cook-off.
Let's do it.
Okay. I have this amazing response from people who are like, this has given me so much confidence in the fact that I can put myself out there. And if and when people don't like what I have to offer, it's okay. They can go somewhere else.
Yes, absolutely.
Actually, a great thing.
Absolutely. I think there's something really powerful about repelling and attracting. You don't want everybody as a client or as a customer. You want to bring in those people who are going to be raving, excited, engaged, and kind fans. Absolutely. I've experienced some craziness online as well. And someday I think I'm going to talk about it in a podcast episode where I'm real about what it feels like and how I dealt with it as well. And in fact, one of the future episodes, I really want to get a professional troll on here. So if somebody is listening to this and you troll day and night on social media, I actually want to talk to you, and it's going to be an interesting conversation. I have nothing bad to say to you. I just want to learn more about the why of why people troll and leave rude comments. So just kind of a side tangent.
Do you think they know that that's what they're doing?
Sometimes I do. I absolutely do. Sometimes I think people are leaving comments and they don't realize that the person who's creating the video actually sees every single one of those comments.
Oh yeah. I've had people, Rachel, I had someone share one of my videos and say, this video is really annoying, or the chick in this video is really annoying, but the content is great. And she tagged me.
Oh my gosh. I think I saw you comment in response to that. Didn't you say something like, thanks?
Yeah, I was like, hello. I wrote, hello, I see this when you comment, when you tag me. And then I said, my energy is not, my energy is not for everybody, but I'm glad you're finding value in the content. Thanks for the share.
One of the things about being visible is you're definitely going to be visible to everybody. So people who love your brand, people who can't stand your brand, you're definitely putting yourself out there. But I definitely believe that big things can happen in your business when you put yourself out there. So I'm so excited to see what 2017 brings for your brand, Molly's. What are you working on right now?
Ooh, I'm so excited because I've got it all planned out, actually. I work with a couple of really great coaches, but I don't know if you know Adam Urbanski.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Love that man so much. And I had the greatest planning call with him. And I love his wife too. Bo is a really good friend of mine. So we have a couple things planned. I'm going to be doing 2 live events this year.
Yay.
What? I have really fun stuff about it. They're called, as of right now, we're calling it Performance Power, which is the title of my book. And we're going to do lots of hands-on training. And then we're going to do some fun things where we're going to split the rooms into 2. And someone's going to be going live in the other room with a small audience in person. And then the other group will be in the other room commenting and liking it live.
Wow.
So they really feel what it's like to like be engaged with people. And that'll be like the end of it, right?
Yes.
Super excited. Lots of hands-on performance coaching and getting content plans together. It's going to be really, really cool.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I have that. I'm going to be doing my live Facebook Live video challenge. I have a 5-day challenge I did last year that went really well. And everybody was so engaged and supportive and breaking through confidence barriers. So I'm going to be doing that at least 2 times, maybe 3 times this year.
Okay.
And and then there was one other. Oh, yeah. And just I have some other cool content that's coming out this year. But those are the big things in there is I'm going to be doing this live event twice and then Facebook Live challenge. 3 times. And then it's not on the calendar, but my real goal is to do a cruise.
Ooh, a live cruise?
Yes. Get a group together to go on a cruise. My husband and I both have worked on cruise ships and it's just like a fun way to have an adventure. And so a lot of times I teach about providing value in your videos, but a big part of it is about taking your audience on an adventure with you.
Yes.
So I thought, how fun would that be?
Oh, that would be such a blast. I absolutely love it. Okay, Molly, where can people find out more about you and your awesome Facebook Lives? Because I wasn't overselling your Facebook Lives. If anyone is interested in how to kill it with Facebook Live, you have to see Molly's streams. They're amazing. Where can they find more about you?
Thank you. The best place is obviously on Facebook. So on Facebook, I am The Prepared Performer. That's the name of my business. My website is also The Prepared Performer. A lot of my live videos I have repurposed as blog posts, so you can find them there. But really, the best place is on my business page, Molly Mahoney, The Prepared Performer. And if they'd like, I'd love to have people join my free group, which is called Elevate Your Awesome.
Excellent.
I have a URL for it, which is elevateyouraawesome.live. And there are loads of resources in there, lots of free stuff, a couple of things that are paid that you can get links to. And lots of videos. We do fun challenges, a Feedback Friday where people can post their videos on Friday and get feedback. And that's an awesome community.
That is so cool. I will link to it in the show notes so people can easily find you. Molly, thank you so much for joining me today. This was a blast.
Thank you. And just thank you again. You know, I've told you this in person, but I am super grateful. And I'm so glad we connected randomly on Instagram whenever it was a long time ago.
I know. We connected on Instagram and then we were guest bloggers for each other. I think it was my first time guest blogging ever. And then I know. And then now we're connected on a daily basis in one way or another.
Yeah. And I just like as a final closeout, I would just love to give a shout out to the concept of collaboration, because that's really why we met in the first place, was because you had posted on Instagram that you were looking for people who were wanting to be guest bloggers.
Yes.
And being in the social media space and, being someone who teaches other people social media strategies, we could have seen each other as competition.
Yes.
But our things that we're doing are so different because you are true to your own quesadilla of awesome. Likewise. And so it's just, I think the one thing that we really need more of in the world in general, but in this online space, is collaboration and celebrating each other and recognizing that there's room enough for all of us. So
I absolutely
love that you embrace that.
I love that mentality. You know, if I'm over here making a great quesadilla and you make an amazing enchilada, let's come together and invite a bunch of people over and we'll have the best food smashing enchiladas, quesadillas. Somebody bring, tequila. I don't drink it, but that will be a blast. Thank you again, Molly.
Thank you.
Oh, man. Do you see what I was talking about? Molly just brings so much energy to Facebook Live. And I don't know about you, but after this interview, I actually went on to Facebook Live and started doing some streams. And the results that I saw were incredible for my business, for my university. I highly recommend getting into Facebook Live as soon as possible. So do me a favor. Head on over to iTunes and leave me a review, subscribe to this podcast, and let me know what it is that you enjoyed about this episode. I can't wait to see what you have to say. I'll see you next week.